This morning, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through 2 Peter. And this morning we're coming to 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter was talking in chapter 1 about our position in Christ, our growth in Christ, our importance of walking in Christ, the importance of being conformed to the image of Christ, and what that meant. Part of growing and maturing in our faith is that you and I should grow and mature in our discernment, and we should be able to discern truth from error, evil from good, and be able to discern when one would come and present that which is not according to God's word, but yet say he's coming in the name of the Lord. Peter laid down the importance of having a firm foundation in Jesus Christ and in His Word. And now he's going to be sharing with us why it's important that we have that. I want you to know that Peter lived over 2,000 years ago. And already at that time, there was coming into the body of believers false teachings. False teachings whose whole intent was to undermine and destroy the faith of God's people. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we're in a great spiritual conflict. We're in a spiritual war. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, I want you to know that we live in a hostile world that's against God. The prince of the power of this world, his desire is to deceive and destroy. As we were coming to work, or coming to church this morning, my wife made the comment as she had heard other things that were happening around the world. We were talking about a number of the things that are going on, the fires that have been going on, a number of other things. And she made the comment, these people really are people of death. And they are because they serve their master, who Jesus himself said was a murderer and a liar and a deceiver. Peter understands the significance of that and wants us to understand it as well. And this morning we're going to be taking a look at chapter 2. And I want to begin reading, first of all, at the last couple verses of chapter 1, where Peter is talking about the fact that there's prophecy in Scripture, and that prophecy is given for us. It's not given just for certain people. Not, you don't have to go to a Bible school to read the Scriptures and know the prophecies that are contained within them. You just have to be filled with God's Spirit, which every believer has, and read God's Word on a consistent basis, and compare God's Word with God's Word, and He will open up His prophecy to you. Peter says in verse 20 of chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them to chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, speak to us through your word. Help us to understand your word is truth. You've given us your word not only that we should know how to live, but that we should be filled with hope in realizing that all the evil that is in this world will one day be dealt with. And Lord, you've given to us the great privilege of being conformed to the image of your Son, that we could be new creatures in Him, and we can have the power of your Spirit in our life, that we can overcome the evil one of this world, and we can stand for truth. Speak to us now through your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, the Apostle Peter, in chapter 2, verse 1, says that there were false prophets among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you. What was he speaking of? Well, if you want to turn with me back to Deuteronomy, and we're going to go back to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and see exactly what Peter was speaking of when he shared this. So if you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And Peter is making reference to what happened during the time that the nation of Israel was being delivered out of the land of Egypt, and there were those that claimed to be prophets. And it wasn't just as they were being delivered by Moses, but also throughout the history of the nation of Israel, there have always been those who came, said they come in the name of the Lord, but they don't come in the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1 says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to you to turn away from the Lord your God, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage and thrust you thee into the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee." Now it's interesting as you read what the words were given by Moses to the nation of Israel by God's Spirit and preserved for us. He talks about there were these prophets that came, and we know that a prophet, if his prophecy doesn't come true, that prophet is a false prophet. But it was referred to in this passage we just read, there were these false prophets that came. And the prophecies they gave came about. But there was one thing wrong. After the prophecy came about, they encouraged the people who were following God to turn their backs on God and to follow false gods, and to believe a different word from a different God. Now, Peter, in his letter to the church, says, guess what? Those same type of individuals are in God's church. He calls them false teachers. And their whole goal is deception. Whenever you see something that involves deception, I want you to understand that's not from God. Jesus himself said, Satan was a liar and a deceiver, a murderer from the beginning. He had no desire to help mankind, but to destroy God's creation. It's interesting. False teachers are deceivers. Oftentimes they come using Christian terms, using the name of Jesus, even coming in Christian churches and speaking from Christian pulpits. But you have to look at what God do they tell you to follow? And whose words are they telling you to listen to? We've got some books out on the table that are written by Dave Hunt. Dave Hunt, God gave a real insight into what was happening before a lot of people saw what was happening. One of the things that Dave Hunt did is he saw that pastors and church leaders were abandoning God's Word and replacing it with the concept of psychology. And he wrote about that and how that people were believing that the Word of God was not sufficient to meet their needs. And instead of turning to God's Word for the answers, they would turn to the world. Many of you are aware that my degree, when people ask me, what's your major? I have a double major in humanism. I went to NDSU and I got 2 degrees, psychology and sociology with a minor in English. You couldn't get much more humanistic than those degrees. I studied the great psychological masters, and I want to tell you, every one of them, to one degree or another, was involved in the occult and anti-God philosophies. Yet, you see in the church today, people who are abandoning the Bible and what God tells us according to His words on the things that we're to do with our lives and turning to a bankrupt system called psychology. It's interesting, too. As you look at the psychological masters, Carl Jung had a demon that spoke to him, whose name was Philemon, and revealed to him the things that he should write down and what his theories of life should be. I don't know about you, but I really don't think demons have the best advice for people. Sigmund Freud was a Jew who grew up hating God. And he was also had a perverse view of life itself and relationships. Not only that, Sigmund Freud was totally afraid of Carl Jung because Carl Jung had his demonic helper. Abraham Maslow, another great leader, had his hierarchy of needs. And if you study the hierarchy of needs, it basically can start out sounding, well, this sounds like it's fairly okay. Talks about you need shelter, you need clothing, you need relationships, you need all this. But you know what he says is the ultimate goal of every person? To be self-actualized. And what he meant by self-actualized was that you would be God determining for yourself what your values are, what your life is meaning. You would do exactly what Satan said, I shall be like the Most High. These were just three of the ones that were considered the founders of psychology. The church abandoned the Bible in many areas to turn to them. Peter warns us. He says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. The false prophets were there to lead the people to worship other gods. False teachers are amongst us to make us worship other gods. We have booklets on the back table talking about yoga. Have booklets on the back table talking about critical race theory. Have booklets on the back table talking about a number of other issues that are contemporary with what's going on today in today's world. Do you realize that there's churches today that have yoga classes? There's churches today that have centering prayer classes. There's churches today that have what they call emergent church services, where you, in the emergent church service, it incorporates the best of Hinduism, which there is no best of. And what you do is you base your relationship with God on feelings and emotions. And the Word of God is never preached, and it's definitely never preached, if it's even referred to, but it's never preached verse by verse where you get the expository understanding of what God is saying. But instead you gather together and you wait for feelings to come upon you. Contemplative prayer. You have mantras. People say, well, I have a Christian. I say Christian words like praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. But it's still a mantra. And you look within yourself and you empty your thought, you empty your mind. The exact opposite of what God tells us to do. All of these things are the exact opposite of what God tells us to do. The Scriptures tell us, come, let us reason together, thus saith the Lord. Know what it means to reason together? If I'm going to reason with you, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to have an exchange of thoughts and conversation, and we're going to look at what something means, and we're going to discuss it. How does God reason with us? Well, the Bible tells us that He's revealed to us in His Word who He is. He's revealed to us all about Him. He's revealed to us what He did, why He created things. He reveals to us in His Word what our great problem is. And I want to tell you that every one of these false systems doesn't address the real problem. Because God has told us our problem is a rebellious heart against Him. Our problem is one where we do not want to listen nor follow His Word, but instead would rather listen to liars, cheaters, and murderers. And our problem is that we do it because we're self-absorbed and don't really want to worship Him. There's a common thing that's come into the church as one of these false teachings. To look within your heart. And you should be driven by what motivates you from within. You know something? Is Jesus God, and is He real, and is He truthful? Because Jesus said we're to look to Him and His Word. And He said an interesting thing about our hearts. I've shared with those who attend here before, what is the concept of the heart? What is the heart? It's not just an organ. The heart, and when it's speaking of it in Scripture, is speaking of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And He said, your mind, your will, and your emotions are desperately wicked. And He says, who can know them? Not only are they desperately wicked and who can know them, but if we listen to them and we're listening to that which is by nature desperately wicked, where will it lead us? But Jesus said, His Word is truth. His Word is truth. When Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, Pilate asked Him, what is truth? And He was staring truth in the face. The choice is, do we want to listen to our hearts, our will, our minds, our emotions? Do I want to be listening to those who would say, I'm coming to teach you the ways of the Lord, and then I'm going to teach you how to become more in tune with your mind, your will, and your emotions, not God's Word? Do you see something wrong with this picture? It's interesting. Peter goes on and he says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. It's interesting, a number of years ago, my wife and I were attending a different church in a German Baptist denomination. And there was a young rising star at the seminary, and he wrote an article for that denomination's paper that came out once a month. And in this article, as I read it, I was disturbed. Because he said, we need a different gospel. We need a new gospel for the new age. We need to get rid of the bloody old gospel and bring in this new gospel, and we need to move with the mega trends of the age. Well, those of you who are familiar with New Age lingo, he used in the first opening paragraph about three words that every New Ager would identify with, megatrends. And his article was filled with that, but it downplayed and destroyed the value of the crucifixion of Jesus. And it said, we need to have a different gospel. That's exactly what Peter said. They come. They come and they deny the one who bought them with His blood. They come in His name, but they deny Him. I want to tell you today, I was listening to a man, and he was talking about what's happening in the world today and what's happening in our country today. And there's a lot of things that you look and you're going, what's the hope? The hope is that we repent and turn to the one who is our deliverer and our hope. Many churches today don't want you to use the word repent. They don't want you to say, repent of your sins and turn to Christ. It's a bad word. But I want you to know that in the Scriptures, John the Baptist called out and told the people to repent. The prophets in the Old Testament came and they told the people of Israel to repent. Jesus Himself, when He was walking on the earth and was speaking to the people, told them to repent. You know what the word repent means? Repent means a transformation of your mind, a shift in your thinking. It means to turn from one direction and go the opposite way. So if you're going to repent, what you're going to do is turn from following the lies of this world to believe in the truth of Jesus Christ. And by repenting, it will lead you to the gospel and who Jesus is and why He came. So Peter says that the false teachers, their whole goal is not to get you to repent, but it's to get you to continue to go down the road of destruction. Because you see, the God they serve is a different God. That's exactly what we read the prophets, false prophets in the Old Testament did. They'd bring something that was true, but then their whole purpose was to get you to turn to a different God and introduce a different God. And that's what the false teachers are doing today. What's amazing, it says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. The word pernicious has a concept of lasciviousness or wicked wild living. The pernicious ways. Their way is not to holiness. Their way is not to righteousness. Their way is not to the character of Christ. Their way is to the way of the world. And that's their goal. Whenever you hear someone preaching something that's a different gospel than this gospel, or preaching something that's against the things that you see as true in this word, they've got pernicious undertonings in their motivations. Pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I want to tell you today, if you want to listen to things that are evil spoken of, if you follow Jesus Christ and believe in this book, the world speaks evil of you. World leaders speak evil of you. Right now, this Tuesday, pray for the Fargo school system because they're going down a road that's wicked. They're already there. But they're having comments that can be made by the public on the budget. But if you'd stand up and say what the real problem is, you'd be looked at as what is the problem. You know what the real problem with the Fargo schools and the real problem with our government and the real problem with a lot of the things that we see are just crumbling and going down, these things that I can't believe this is happening? They turn their back on God. And they embraced other gods. Just like the false teachers that come into the church. And though, and the amazing thing is that when they do that, the very thing that can deliver them and is a solution to their problems, they call evil and won't listen. Just give you one example in education. You know there are two forms of education. There's progressive education and there's classical education. In classical education, you go to school to learn mathematics, how to subtract, divide, multiply, advanced mathematics, algebra, calculus, but it's based on fundamentals. You go to English class and you learn how to construct a sentence, you learn how to speak properly, you learn how to put words and sentences together, you understand and are taught how vocabulary is important, and it's important to be able to speak properly and to know what an adverb and an adjective and a verb and a noun and the importance of what they are. That's classical education in English. And you can go down the list and they all like that. That's classical education. Progressive education, you set those basically aside. You pay little attention to that at all, but instead it's a philosophical desire to lead people into pernicious ways. It's really called brainwashing. And what you do with progressive education, there are no fundamentals because there are no absolutes, because there is no God. I want you to see and understand classical education really has its foundation and its roots in biblical Christianity and biblical Judaism. Because it views that there are absolutes and there is a creator that we're accountable to, and it doesn't matter if you're the janitor or the superintendent, the president, or somebody who is retired and living on hardly any money at all, you all stand accountable to God. And that's the foundation of classical education. The foundation of progressive education is there is no absolute. And what has happened, our culture today has become a culture of relativism, where if it seems to be right, it must be right. Our culture has become one of subjective truth, which there is no such thing. But if I view it's true, it must be true. And all of that is tied to the whole concept of progressive education, where you brainwash people as little kids. There are no absolutes. So today, there is no such thing as a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. There is no such thing. And you go down the list and you go, well, I can see that it's right before me. Romans talks about that. It says, seeing the evidence, they deny it and they become fools. And they really are fools. But the thing is, we as Christians are not to allow that to come into the church. And what Peter is saying, false teachers are going to come in and their whole goal is to destroy you and your way of thinking, and that you will not be conformed to Jesus, but you will be conformed to this world. You will abandon the concept of a holy and righteous God that you stand accountable to. You'll abandon the concept that He is the creator of the world, and He, as a creator, He has a right to dictate to you on how you come to Him. You don't get to dictate the terms He does. And Peter's saying that they're abandoning it at all. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words. Feigned words. Interesting. Feigned words means false words. False words. Feigned also can have the concept of empty words that mean nothing. Empty, false words. That's what they're going to come with. And these false words have a purpose, because they're making merchandise of you. Now, I just want you to stop and think about, I don't recommend that you listen to the news, but if you do listen to the news, what do they try and do with you? Through their words, they try to make and manipulate you to do what they want you to do and get the things they want you to get and go the places they want you to go and do the things that they say you have to do. They're making merchandise of you. You see, you're no longer motivated by the Word of God when you do this, but you allow their empty, false words to be the ones that dictate how you live. And when you do that, they made merchandise of you. And he says here, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Peter's saying God knows what's going on. God knew what was going on at the time of Noah. God knew what was going on at the time of Lot. God knew what was going on at the time when Israel was being tempted by the false prophet Balaam. God knows. And Peter tells us God will preserve His own. We've got books out there too that talk about, there's one copy, it's called Three Generations. It talks about three generations of family in Russia where they did not abandon the Word of God. They suffered tremendously for it, but they would not abandon the truth, and God never abandoned them. And they shall receive, His Word tells us, a great reward for their faithfulness. It's interesting, I've got a funeral that we have to go to on Tuesday. My brother-in-law's mom died. She's 100 years old. And you think, wow, 100 years. But it's just a blink. You know, at the funeral homes, they put those little programs together for you, a picture program where it runs all pictures of the person's life. And they had pictures of her when she was a little girl. They had pictures of her of her wedding. Had pictures of her when her kids were little. Pictures of her with her grown kids. Pictures of her with her grandkids and great-grandkids. But it's gone like a vapor. My brother-in-law isn't that far behind me in age. And soon, ours will be her place. But what do we do with this vapor of time? Who do we listen to? Who do we allow to motivate us? Who do we allow to teach us? I got an article on the website, and it's entitled, Why Do You Believe What You Believe? You could put down a second little title, which I didn't put under that. Who influenced you to believe what you believe? And why did you allow them to influence you? We're only given so much time. And who we listen to is of the utmost importance. Is it a false teacher or a true teacher? Are they teaching lies or are they teaching the truth? And what am I going to be, how is my life going to be motivated by what I'm being taught? The Apostle Paul, when he came to the city of Berea, preached the gospel, as he always did. And he used the scriptures, as he always did. Now, the scriptures he used would have been what we refer to as the Old Testament, because that's all he had. The New Testament hadn't been written. It was in the letters for what we were incorporated into what we have in the New Testament and the Gospels that we have in the New Testament. Those are all being written. They weren't composed and written yet. They're in process. So the only scriptures he had was what was the Old Testament. But he came to Berea and he talked about Jesus. He talked about Jesus, his birth. He talked about his death, he talked about his burial, and he talked about his resurrection. And he took it all from the Old Testament. Could you do that? If you saw somebody who was of the Jewish faith, would you be able to share the gospel just using the Old Testament? Well, that's what Paul did. He stood before the Berean Jewish people in their synagogue, and he preached to them out of the Old Testament. And know what the response was. We're not sure if what you've said is true, but what we're going to go home is go home and examine the scriptures you're quoting and make sure the scriptures did say what you said they're going to do. Did Paul condemn them for doing that? Did Paul say, wait a second here, I'm Paul. I had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. I'm Paul. I've been called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm Paul. I've been called to write what the church is all about. Know what Paul said to them? He commended them and said they were noble. Know why they were noble? Because they compared the scriptures to what his words were. He just didn't say something and says it's true, but he says it's according to the Scriptures. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, he does the same thing. He talks about the gospel that he has always preached. Jesus Christ dying according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ being buried according to the Scriptures. And Jesus Christ rising again from the dead according to the Scriptures. Are the Scriptures important? They're the foundation of our life. They point us to God. They show us who we are apart from Him. They show us the depravity of our heart unless God transforms it. And so this morning I challenge you as we come to a close here. Listen to the words of Peter. There's false teachers. And they're becoming more evident every day. And it doesn't matter whether it's a professor at college, a pastor in a church, a politician in Washington. The message they give you, you need to compare it against the Scripture. Because either the Scripture is true or it's not. Either Jesus is who He says He was or He's not. One statement that said either Jesus was the most raging lunatic that ever lived, a man who had no brain, or He was who He says He was. There have been many people that have set out to prove that Jesus Christ was the first two and ended up believing the last. That He is who He says He was. The Son of God, taking on the form of a man, coming to set men free from their sin. If Jesus is who He says He is, then read His words in Matthew 24. Read His words in the book of Revelation. Read the words of His Spirit that He spoke through Paul and John and Peter that show the wickedness that you are seeing in the world now is going to be dealt with. So are you going to believe in His righteousness? Or are you going to believe in the lies of this world? Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You just help us to understand. We have liars that are trying to teach us their lies. We have liars that want to say truth is error. We have liars that want us to be paralyzed in fear. But You have come to set us free. And Lord, I pray that You would just help us to listen to You and the truth of Your Word. There is only one truth. And You are it. Go with us now and help us to walk in that truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 491.